Today's Brentwood in Business interview on Phoenix FM is proudly sponsored by Brentwood Borough Council and Bennett's Funeral Directors.
So we're quite in the studio with this. I'm going to try and get your name wrong. I'm going to get it wrong. You know I'm going to get it wrong.
That's okay. It's not a problem.
I'm going to get it wrong. I know I'm going to get it wrong. I'm going to fall over. No. Carmel Magecha.
Yes, absolutely correct.
You didn't get it wrong. See, I've been practicing and everything. Now, you're from Guided Learning in Brentwood, is that right?
Yes, I am.
So explain to me exactly what Guided Learning in Brentwood does.
So we at Guided Learning provide, overall tutoring. But more than that, we provide young people a chance to build their confidence up.
Yeah.
Both in themselves, and predominantly we work with them to bring their confidence of themselves in, rather than just using all confidence in English and maths. So we work with the young people, we get them to be confident in themselves, we work then with what's stopping them from their learning, what's stopping from them from actually enjoying their learning.
Gotcha.
For me, it's really important they enjoy their learning.
Okay.
And the way that we do this is we have a social, I guess it's almost like a social club, but each child is working on their own thing. So we have a maximum of 10 students, and we have 3 qualified teachers within that. I myself am a qualified teacher, as well as I left teaching to go into a master's in coaching and positive psychology. So I work with them using the coaching techniques to identify where they're at, where do they want to get to, and what are the steps that they can take. And sometimes it comes out that they're not confident in a particular topic in maths or in English, and we'll work with them to get them really, really confident. And just getting that self-belief back that, yes, they can do it. Yes, it might be a little bit hard, but with a bit of help, they can ask the questions either in class or outside of class, and they've always got us to come back to and say, I really need a little bit of help with this. How do I do it? What's the next step? How can I answer the questions the best way so I get the maximum marks? And a lot of it is, particularly for GCSE students, it's understanding reading the question. So for us, it's very much a case of actually building that confidence and saying, yes, actually, you can do this. We'll practice, we'll practice, we'll practice. And they're really, really lovely, lovely young people that we work with.
Now, confidence is a very strange thing, isn't it? Because it's you can meet somebody that's confident and somebody says something negative, it's all gone.
That's gone. Absolutely.
Really strange thing. How do you build on their confidence? Because obviously their confidence has been knocked because if they're not keeping up with everybody else at their same year.
Yeah.
So how do you build on their confidence?
So I think the first thing that I do when I actually, when parents approach me is I say, I want a 20-minute conversation. And it's usually directed with the child, and this is free in the first instance. And we simply talk to the young person. We talk to them and find out what it is that they're really struggling with, not what parents think, not what the teachers think. We look at what the child wants and needs. And then we explain to them how we work. And we work with teachers. I think we're quite unique in that we work with qualified teachers, because we know that the teachers have gone through rigorous training, they're qualified, they actually work with the young people or have worked with the young people, so a couple of ours no longer work in a school teaching. And the teachers that we work with absolutely want the young people to succeed.
Yeah. It's important. That's our future.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if we can build that confidence in them, and we can say to them, yes, we know it's difficult, we know it's not easy, but let's think about doing it like this. And we have so many different sort of resources within it. So with the young people, when they come in, some of them really don't like to spell. Spelling is one of our biggest issues. So we have lots of different resources. We work on the computer, we work on paper, we have magnetic boards with the letters that go with it. So it's more learning through play. Research shows that if you learn through play, you only have to do it 20 times and it's in your memory.
Yeah, goes into the subconscious.
Learn by rote, It takes you 100 times.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's recent research that I read up, and I was just like, well, I know my children love to learn through play. And it was one of the things we did. So while we were playing, we'd be looking at alphabet, we'd be looking at numbers. Monopoly used to be a favourite, not so much now. I think everyone's just too competitive in the family. And we end up with arguments. But when they were younger, it was really, really good because it taught them about money. It taught them about the value of money. I think the traditional one was Park Lane. Everyone wanted Park Lane, but nobody wanted to actually land on Park Lane.
Yeah.
But it taught them, okay, so when you do certain things, when you buy certain property, this is how much money you have left over. What can you do? And then when we take it to the end, either someone loses or has to sell some of their property. And again, it teaches them the values. Okay, we've gone ahead and actually bought Park Lane. No one's ever landed on it. Been a waste. Mm. So it starts teaching them about real life rather than this bubble that we're all in when we're in education.
See, now there is a big difference between education and intelligence. It's a big divide.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not many people realise that. I've got some friends that are very intelligent and not very educated.
Yeah.
I used to work with a man that was a multimillionaire, didn't know his ABC.
Yeah.
So, and that was quite shocking to me, that because that was the first time that I've come across this. Mm. So people automatically think because somebody can't get something in an educated way, they're not intelligent. That's not the case.
No, no. In terms of intelligences, I think there are more intelligences than we're actually testing for. So when we think about GCSEs, when we think about SATs, when we think about any of the tests that are conducted in school, it's reading and writing. If you can read, if you can write, you're intelligent. That's not the end
it's
of that.
Taught.
It's taught. Yeah. You can memorize it. You can learn it.
Right.
You can, you know. You can, to a certain extent, but not everyone thinks in letters and not everyone thinks in numbers.
Yeah.
So you've got those people that are really, really intelligent, really clever, will think outside the box, will question, well, why, and this is something that I get a lot with the young people, and particularly I work with children who have dyslexia or are on the borderline where it's not quite identified yet. And schools seem to be very reluctant, particularly primary schools, very reluctant to actually diagnose dyslexia. I think we all have certain neurodiverse, I think is the new word going around, but we're all neurodiverse because we all think in completely different ways. Mm. No two people think the same thing.
Yeah.
But in terms of intelligences, we've got the creatives, so you've got the music, so you've got the arts. You've got people who actually think, okay, I want to do this and there isn't something that is available, so I'm just going to create it. So if you think about, and the most famous one that I can think of is Einstein. He failed his maths and GCSE and A-level because he didn't write down all the workings out. He just put the answers. And one of the things that we do is sort of encourage the young people who are, you know, gifted or who work in that way to say, no, you need to write down because unfortunately this is the way the system is. Rather than actually working to their gifts and their skills, we're getting them to work within this tiny little box that the education system says you have to be able to do.
Yeah, you know, I think you're doing a fantastic job, really.
Thank you.
The children... I'll sound like, a record by George Benson there. The children are our future.
They are definitely. And I think a lot of, well, not a lot, but a few parents come in and say, oh, my child is really shy. They won't talk. They won't engage. Or there's the other ones where my child is so chatty, they won't stop talking. They're easily distracted. And I'm like, yep. Yeah, but there is a lot to be distracted by. And that, for me, is a curious child. Somebody who wants to know what's going on. Somebody who wants to understand how things work. Why does this happen? I think I had a conversation with my 8-year-old niece and she was saying, but we don't have earthquakes in the UK. And I said, yes, we do. She said, no, it happens because of this. And she'd actually learnt all of this stuff by herself in terms of the plates moving and the... Yeah. Whatever technical term she actually used.
Yeah.
I didn't do my geography. and it was a very long time ago, so it's not a subject I teach either. So I was really impressed. And when I talk to some of these people, the young people, the things they come out with, I'm like, oh, I hadn't thought about it that way.
See, that's fantastic. So, the question why is such an important question. Yeah, and nobody asks it anymore.
And nobody does. I think it's so ingrained in schools that when you ask the question, but why am I doing this? Why am I learning about... And for English, I think the main one, even the parents say to me, is why are we learning about the grammar? Why are we learning what is a noun, what is a verb, what's an adverb? What use is it?
Yeah.
And a lot of the times I know that people... the education system have put that in place so that when we learn foreign languages, it's much easier because that's how the foreign languages are taught. And when you look at how French people learn English, that's also what they're taught. So I know that it's easy to pick up different languages if you know the basics in terms of how to put a sentence together using those particular terms.
Well, Kamal, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Kamal Mugecha from Guided Learning in Brentwood. Thank you very much.
Today's Brentwood in Business interview on Phoenix FM is proudly sponsored by Brentwood Borough Council and Bennett's Funeral Directors.